Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
Coming up on NBA Today, the very latest on Ben Simmons' playing status, what that means for the Brooklyn Nets with only 1 week left in the regular season. Plus, when did it all go wrong for the Lakers? We get into their historically disappointing season and where it all started. And we have the potential DPOY and Rookie of the Year joining the show, Marcus Smart and Scotty Barnes. Don't miss it. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by two-time WNBA All-Star Shanaea Gumake, NBA champion Richard Jefferson, and senior writer Ramona Shelburne. I want to peel back the curtain just a little bit, all right? Before the show, we all sit in the newsroom and we plan what we're going to talk about. And producer Jaron talks to Ramona, Demetrius works with Chinee. We try all morning unsuccessfully to get Richard Jefferson on the phone. And all morning, we're planning. We had this big, beautiful layout to talk about the Lakers to start the show. And it takes a lot to move the Lakers down, but today it happened, and that's because of Ben Simmons. And here's why. It's been 288 days since this happened. Ben Simmons passed up on a wide-open dunk, and the Sixers eventually lost to the Hawks in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. It was the last time Simmons played in an NBA game. 10 months later, Simmons is a Net, and it seems like his debut gets farther and farther away. So here's head coach Steve Nash earlier today.
Do you think he'll miss the playing game?
Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say likely now. He hasn't even, he's not running. I don't see him. I would be shocked. But I think in this situation, you know, we got to put his health and safety first and make sure that we're certain he's ready to play and contribute. And the other part is he hasn't played basketball. So, you know, what kind of Ben do you get? I mean, he hasn't been in an NBA game for, you know, 9-10 months.
We know what he brings to the floor, and my main concern is just getting his back healthy so he have a good rest of his career, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully he's out there soon.
All right, so just to reiterate what Steve Nash said there, he said that Ben Simmons isn't running yet, so it's more than likely he's going to miss the play-in tournament. But Ramona, you've covered this as closely as humanly possible, right? Is it still possible we're going to see him in the playoffs? What's the timeline here?
Yeah, it's still possible. I mean, if they make a deep run, it's still possible. The issue, though, is that he has to ramp up, and this is when he flared up his back injury the last time. So you have to recondition. You have to get back in basketball shape. That's a long process here. He's not even running. And the way you break this down, is when you have an epidural, they tell you to rest for a couple of weeks. Don't do anything. Give it a chance to work. So he rested. That was a couple of weeks ago. Now he's going to ramp back up. Now I checked in with somebody very close to Ben Simmons today. Said, would you really bring him back in the playoffs after having not played for 10 months with all that pressure and everything on the line? And the answer I got was, yeah. Like the answer. I know.
Well, I mean, what choice do they
have? What choice do they have? One, and number two, and this is, I thought, a pretty good point. If he just plays the role they need, which is, by the way, defense, which he can do,
which is an important role for this Nets team,
right?
What we've seen.
Then that's all the pressure that's on him, and the free throw pressure, which is always going to be there for the rest of his career. It's not going to change now versus a year from now. So I think that's the way they're looking at it.
Right.
But again, he has to go through an entire ramp-up process, make it all the way through that ramp-up process, which he didn't do last time, and then get himself mentally ready to play again. That feels like a longer process to me than a week or two.
Okay, I'm going to make this really simple.
Yeah.
Richard, big deal, little deal, no deal that he's out through the play-in tournament definitively.
Okay, just back to Ramona really quickly. You said that there is a chance. What percentage chance would you put that at? What percentage?
That he plays at all this year?
Yeah.
10%.
10%.
You know,
okay.
Like, come on, let's be real.
No, but I'm saying hypothetically.
Like if they make a long run.
Right,
and
that's what I'm saying.
Hypothetically,
we've talked about this since.
And by the way, that's my opinion, not somebody's.
I'm just saying hypothetically, given the information, you're well connected. So when I look at this, is it a big deal? Is it a little deal? We are in professional sports. At the end of the day, professional sports is not for everyone. And I say this respectfully. If you're injured, right, or if your body can't keep up with that, we're not going to, the NBA is not going to change. If Ben Simmons, you know, is struggling with mental health issues, like, that's part of professional sports. You know what the bag is when you show up. They pay you a tremendous amount of money to make sure that you can handle the tremendous amount of stress and pressure that comes with it. And then they hope that your body can keep up with that. Do I think it's a big deal? I think that, one, it's his mental health. That was something that needed to be addressed. And, two, it was his physical health that's now needing to be addressed. But at the end of the day, like free throws, whatever, he's got to get himself back on the court, whether it's now or this summer.
Right. All right. So where Ben Simmons will definitely help, right, is on the defensive side, which is a
next season.
Huge
Which I think was always a plan, by the way, but go ahead.
Right. But it's the clear need. After dropping a career-high 55 on Saturday night, Kevin Durant addressed their defensive woes.
You know, it's the detail stuff we got to just lock in on and do better. You know, shots are going to fall. You know, it's a make or miss league. But, you know, we be having guys bottled up, great defense, and we end up fouling right at the end. And, you know, that's just the – that's if we want to continue to be – if we want to grow and be a better team, then that type of stuff can't happen. Just bad basketball, you know. The giving points like that, you know, after playing good defense and then, boom, we reach. Like, we just got to be better in that area.
You know, Richard, I know the Nets have a sweet spot on your heart, but you know if you want to win a championship, the number one thing you have to do is play defense, and this is one area where the Brooklyn Nets really struggle. So let's roll the tape, Kwaku,
baby. Let's roll the tape.
Let's do it. You want to take us through this?
I'll take you through. So look, James Johnson's pointing and talking, right? So now the worst thing you can do is point and not talk. This is what they're doing. This is the Detroit Pistons, one of the worst offensive teams in the entire league.
They're not horrible either.
They're one of the worst offensive teams in the league. Now, again, pointing, switching, and talking. You saw a simple mess up right there.
Simple exchange.
Now, here, you got Seth Curry guarding Giannis. That's not good.
And no help defense.
And no help defense. One, Seth needs to give him space, and then you need to come over and be able to help, but that has to be communicated. Now, again, Drummond, watch this
closeout.
Look
at this. You can't leave the shooter who got, mind you, look, top 10 to 3 points made, and I think he's number two in points overall.
And look, I wish we could rewind this because it was like, is anyone going to run out? Is anyone going to run out? This is the thing. We know that this team has the amount of talent that any team would dream of, but they are not a cohesive unit. Is there time for them to kind of get better now that Kyrie's playing full time? Yes, that's the one thing that would give you optimism, but ultimately their defense is far.
Defense is where Ben Simmons would help, but we all know the likelihood of that is not high. The reality is the Brooklyn Nets, they have the 20th worst defense and they're 21st at fouls. And let's talk about that game versus the Hawks. The Hawks had 49 free throws. So if you can't play defense, then you have to be able to get the rebound in four shots without fouling.
Yeah.
30 foul difference. Free throw shooting, right, that game. You will never win a game with 30 when your opponent shoots 30 more free
throws. When you look at Detroit, when you look at Atlanta, 55, when you look at the way they had to play against Detroit, they are struggling to beat even the average team. Anyone that can realistically say they can be a great team for over seven games, they're
And this is the part, Richard, when Kevin Durant goes for 55, you would expect that they would win, but this did not happen because their defense has been struggling.
Right, so given all of that, here is where we stand in the East, right? The four teams currently are the Hawks, the Cavs, the Hornets, the Nets, but seeding could still change, right? On the other coast, though, there is nothing more important than seeding for the Lakers, who have fallen to 11th in the standings. So let's take a look back at their season in review.
Good morning, Los Angeles. Big news out of Lakerland.
The Wizards agreeing to send Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. To get him, the Lakers had to give up a lot.
We felt like this was an opportunity to bring an 18th title to this city.
The narrative about our age, I kind of laugh at it. I actually really do laugh when I'm just saying that.
Wants to use the window and hit the top of the glass.
He's wide open. He shoots an air ball.
Missed badly on that one.
Understandable boos. Breaking news into SportsCenter. The NBA has suspended LeBron James. The league says James recklessly hit Stewart in the face.
They've lost, what is it, five of their last six?
This team just can't get it right.
What the hell is going on with the Lakers?
I don't have to answer. You know, exactly.
Should the Lakers be going all in on the play-in?
At this point, good record over standings.
Which Laker team will show up here tonight? LeBron to tie the game!
Win back-to-back games, something they haven't done since January.
As the Denver Nuggets win it 129-118, and the Lakers, somebody might be preparing to write the eulogy on their season.
What a long, strange trip this Lakers season has been, right? It started like a script from Hollywood. Local star returns home to return glory to historic franchise. But the only similarities to the Lakers in Hollywood, it seems, is the drama that followed. So LA entered the season, remember, with the best odds in the West to win the title, second only in the NBA to the Brooklyn Nets. So that's how it started. Here's how it's going. The Lakers, they've only won four games. Let me say that again. Four games since the All-Star break. That includes the six-game losing streak they are currently in, which has seen them drop from 9th to 11th in the West. And that means the Lakers have only a 3% chance to make the play-in tournament, according to ESPN's BPI. And even though the Lakers and LeBron is leading the league in scoring, entering last week of the season, that's 30.3 points per game that he has, this is the first time in his 19-year career that one of his teams finds itself 16 games under 500. So it looks like the Lakers are done for the season, right? But there's still a couple of scenarios that could somehow see them sneak into the play-in tournament. So let me explain what those would be. Listen close. They would need to win their last four games and then also hope that the Pelicans would lose their last four. Or they'd have to win three more games in the Spurs over their last four. So again, that's not likely, but technically they're still in the race, AKA their magic number right now is 2. I'm sorry, Richard. There's a lot to unpack here with the Lakers drama. There's no doubt this season, a lot of things went wrong, right? But when you look back at the season, Richard, what do you think their biggest issue was?
Well, I think when you have a season this terrible, there's multiple things that happen. You have multiple injuries. You had young players that were hurt to start the season. THT, Kendrick Nunn, we've still not seen him.
And you won't.
Yeah. And I wish him help. But these are guys that were brought in.
I
wish him well.
I was like, W or an H there. I was like, whoa, Richard.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, keep going.
I don't wish that on anybody, right? So when you look at the young players, the young players were hurt, kind of early, just trying to get acclimated. Then you have, obviously, Anthony Davis in and out of the lineup. Then you just have, there's just a list of things. Everything goes wrong on top of, it seems like there's a heavy chemistry issue with that roster. There's a heavy chemistry roster, or issue with the roster. Mm. So when you look at players being down, players underperforming, players being hurt, and chemistry issues, what you get is a team that was picked to probably finish top four in the league being 10th or 11th in the West.
I see Shanae's over there, taking notes.
Yeah. Not from what he said.
Don't cheat on my homework.
And we all
know. She's a Stanford girl. She takes
why?
Notes.
Why? Arizona, Stanford? Why would I cheat on your homework?
Yeah, okay. Keep your eyes on your own paper.
Look, the thing that I was thinking about as you're making your astute points the fact that this iteration of the Lakers under Frank Vogel, defense was their identity. And we talked about it when it came to the Brooklyn Nets, but specifically for the Lakers, if you look around the NBA and the top teams, you think about the Bucks, you think about the Suns, you think about the Heat, you think about the Grizzlies, you can say something about each one of their defenses, whereas the Lakers, they did not have defensive buy-in all year long. So much so that the answer was supposed to be Anthony Davis when he comes back. He's our rim protector. So when we, force him, we're more aggressive, he'd be able to stop things. No, they have not been able to stop the bleeding defensively, and I think that's been the biggest issue. It's not just the hardest thing at the professional level to buy in is defense. If you can't buy in on defense, your team is probably not going to do well, and that's exactly all the issues that the Lakers have.
Well, so since the Lakers won the title in 2020, Rob Pelinka has had a mentality, and I think this is the right mentality anyway, of if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, right? Even though you won a championship, you have to try to continue to get better because everybody else is trying to catch you. So they tried something last year, that didn't work. They tried something different this year, and this year's construction was based on the idea that LeBron and AD are injury risks. LeBron because he's 37, Anthony Davis because he's Anthony Davis. No disrespect. He got hurt twice this year. Last year, same
game.
He
missed 40 games. Yeah. You have to prepare for something.
So they needed a third star to carry the team when one or both of those players were out. That was actually the correct read.
Yeah.
They did. It's just that Russell Westbrook has not been the right star.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other issue when you look at the roster construction is they play about a 9-man rotation right now. 4 of those 9 players that they play regularly were not on the team to start the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Wang and Gabriel, DJ Augustine, Avery Bradley, Stanley Johnson. Those are guys they added during the season, which means the way that team was built around LeBron, AD, Westbrook, the players they added at the beginning of the season were not the right players.
Okay. Well, we aren't the only people that are talking about the Lakers' shortcomings, right? Let's just real quick hear from Anthony Davis and head coach Frank Vogel after last night's loss.
What could have we have been if I was healthy all year. Bron was healthy, K-Nunn is healthy. Like, you think about those things. You know, we put this team together. look really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being, you know, in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part about, you know, this season is just not being sure what we could have been. As long as we're playing hard, you know, there's no moral victories in this league, you know, especially with us. The whole world want to see us lose.
Sucks telling these guys every game, proud of you, good effort. We lost. So it's not fun, but it could be worse, you know, if things were unraveling. Our group has stayed together. They're putting in a good fight. Their attitude has been wonderful in terms of just, like, working together to get this thing right. And it's just disappointing to come in and, you know, just keep saying we fall short.
Things could have been worse. How?
Well, look, they haven't turned on each other. And I will be legitimately honest, as much as there's as much media as attention that has been there. Mm-hmm. And look, there's tussles. We saw a tussle in Miami, right, with Spo and Giannis Haslam and Jimmy. So, like, to see a little tussle between AD and Dwight Howard, I have seen teams fully turn on each other in these moments. Like, when we say they could be worse, that's the only situation that could be worse. But when you look at this team, at the end of the day, Anthony Davis was supposed to help them defensively. Like, he was supposed to be that guy. But there wasn't a lot of defensive help around Anthony Davis.
Right.
And Anthony Davis has a poor defensive season where in 2020, he was a top three defensive player. A lot of people thought he could be defensive player of the year right next to Giannis. Now he's in the middle of the pack when it comes to every defensive analytic. So when your guy that's supposed to carry your defense now becomes a middle of the pack NBA player, your defense is going to struggle.
Oh, not middle of the pack NBA player.
No, middle of the pack. As far as his defensive analytics. Yeah, the defensive analytics.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at that, he's like in the middle of the pack, not middle of the pack NBA player.
Okay.
No. But his analytics. So my point is this, is like when you bring all those things together and Anthony Davis has not been healthy, and I think that's been the number one issue why Russ hasn't played well, because you're now, when you see Anthony Davis, you see Russ, like, Russ, we need more from you. And he's like, well, I can't give you more. I shouldn't be giving you more. That's when it becomes an issue.
All right, we're still going to get a little bit more into the Lakers later in the show, but still to come on NBA Today, how about some other teams?
Thank
Embiid,
God.
Jokic, or Giannis? The MVP race is coming down to the wire.
Yes,
our panel gives their pick on
Be brave.
Way.
I
you
can't
will
do it.
Today. Plus, there's only one rookie that ranks in the top five in every major statistical category, and he joins the show live. And Defensive Player of the Year favorite Marcus Smart stops by to tell us why he deserves the award. More NBA Today after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Credit Karma. Get the money app where your hard work pays off and create your own karma.
The Celtics, they played their final home game of the season on Sunday afternoon, and whoo-wee, they waxed the Wizards 144-102. It was Boston's third win by 40 or more. Ooh, that's the most in the NBA. They also have the best record in the league over the last 10 weeks. And now joining NBA Today, fresh off that 42-point win, two-time all-defensive player Marcus Smart. Thanks so much for joining us on NBA Today, Marcus.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So 2.5 months ago, Boston was out of the play-in, and now the Celtics are the 2 seed in the East. And when I talked to your coach, Ime Udoka, he said it was just a matter of getting healthy. But there has to be more to it than that. What was the turning point for you all?
To be honest, he was right. That was majority of the reason. Just really, we had to get healthy. Once we got healthy, we were able to really get the chemistry going between guys, because now guys from Florida able to play with one another. We could see what guys like. We could see where guys were going to get their shots from and where guys needed to be at certain times of the game. So, you know, being healthy helped that a lot.
Well, now you guys are just rolling, but you're the longest tenured member of the Celtics. You've seen the full development, right, of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. How have you seen them make a leap together this season?
Just the way that, you know, their emphasis on, you know, desire to get better. Like each and every day, you know, they talk about it and then they go out there on the court and they're trying the things that they're talking about that they want to get better. You know, they're working on bouncing out of the double teams and, you know, finding guys out of the double teams, finding their reads, you know, when they got that slight window to make a move for themselves and to find for others. So it's been amazing. It's been great. It's been fun, you know, watching those guys grow. It's been fun being a part of the growth with both of those guys.
Well, at what point did you look inward and realize that you had the belief that this group could do what you all are doing?
I mean, for me, I've always known, you know, we always knew we had that potential. It was just getting the right pieces and it was just clicking at the right time and trying to stay healthy, because through all those times, we weren't as healthy as we are now. So that was really for us. We knew once we got it clicking and rolling, you know, we can do something special.
Well, and one of the reasons that you're able to be doing something special right now is your defense. And now you're the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. Did you know that? What's your case to win the award?
Yeah, I keep hearing that, you know, people, friends, family, and just fans everywhere just keep telling me that. It's crazy to even think of, you know. We understand it's a big man's war. It's been a big man's war, but, you know, it's time for us guards to get the recognition that we long deserve. You know, we do a lot of the hard work as well, not knocking on the bigs and taking from the bigs. It's just, you know, the way that we out there being able to switch 1-3, 1-5, 1-4, in my case, I'm a 1-5 guy, you know, not everybody's doing it. So the versatility that we have to have on that perimeter and guard most of the guys who are the best player in the leagues are perimeter guys majority of the night. So we definitely have some say-so in this little race that we got for Defensive Player of the Year. It's just we don't get talked about enough.
Do you happen to know the last guard to win Defensive Player of the Year, just off the top of your head?
Just off the top of my head, I'm going to go with Gary Payton.
Yep.
You know.
Yep, 1996.
You know, the coach to do it, 1996. You know what I'm saying? I was 2 years old. So it's incredible to even have my name mentioned, you know, in the same category as his. You know, growing up, you know, as a defender, you watch the things that he was able to do, especially with his size and the tenacity that he had in playing with him. You just try to go out there and you know, implement that into your game as much as you can and bring that same fire.
It's hard to believe it. Time's flying. You only have 3 regular season games left. It is hot and spicy in the Eastern Conference right now. How closely are you watching the standing shakeout?
Every 5 minutes, we're looking at it, see what's going on, what's new. You know, it's kind of like when you open the refrigerator, you see nothing's in there. 5 minutes later, you open it again, thinking something's going to change, and it's the same. So we're right there. You know, we're excited to even be, you know, in this position that we're in, especially the way we started the season. You know, it was rough on us, but the adversity that we went through has got us to where we are now, and hopefully that adversity will just keep pushing us forward.
I would say the difference now in the fridge analogy is you open the fridge and then you see milk and then you open again. It's like, oh, wait, where did orange juice come from? Like, everything is changing all the time. This is a dangerous game to play when you start to think about, oh, this is who our best matchup may be. But is there a team in your mind that you're like, oh, we can thrive against them, and, yeah, we don't really want to face them in the first round?
I mean, not really. For us, is we just want to go play basketball. Whoever is in front of us, we're going to go play. It doesn't matter. We can't look at it like that. You know, we haven't looked at it like that all year playing, because at any given moment, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen, you know. So we just got to continue to keep our streak going, keep our focus, and keep the hot streak that we got going with the guys and try to stay as healthy as we can. And whoever's put in front of us, we're going to go out there and compete.
I think it's go time to it's time to check your fridge. It's time to go check it. I so appreciate you joining us here on NBA Today.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Like they're only
still to come on NBA Today. Has Joel Embiid done everything he can to snag MVP? Well, he sure thinks so. His comments, that's next. And you're saying there's a chance. There's a chance.
No,
the Lakers'
not.
Unlikely path to the play-in. Hush, Richard. We're going to tell you about that. All right. Rookie sensation and Rookie of the Year candidate Scottie Barnes. He also joins the show live. NBA Today rolls on.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. All right, here's the MVP odds entering Sunday's games. Nikola Jokic, clear favorite, followed by Joel, Giannis. That is according to Caesars Sportsbook. So let's take a look, right, at how it all shook out, starting with Giannis Antetokounmpo, already a two-time MVP, taking on Luka Doncic and the Mavs. I mean, this is his bread and butter, Richard.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a charge, but look, if you don't get that, big fella, you know what's going to happen next.
Grown man move.
Accidentally monster. And speaking of monsters.
But might Luka be sneaking into the conversation?
When you can hit a step back over the defensive player of the year with ease, look at taking his time, working up. Everybody knows the move. Everybody knows the move, and you still can't stop it.
Well, Jason Kidd got his revenge in Milwaukee. All right, let's see who's next. It's Nikola Jokic. So the Denver Nuggets, they were taking on a LeBron-less Lakers team this weekend. And Nikola, I was on the sidelines for this one. He was doing it all.
Yeah, no, that's what makes him so special is that he is the offense. He is every single thing. Scoring, assisting, creating, setting up the offense, running the fast break. The dude is an absolute monster.
It was almost a pedestrian performance by his standards, and it was still incredible, right? I mean, finished with 38 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 assists. This man is a walking offensive machine. Mm-hmm. All right, let's check out Joel Embiid, another candidate for most valuable player. Getting ready to take on the Cavaliers here.
What was that pass? First sport was volleyball, y'all.
I don't know how that
was. That was a nice little one hand in volleyball? That was a set.
Yeah. That was a set.
You used two hands to set it.
Beautiful.
And then it's your big man that is enough of an outside threat and has the footwork.
Yeah, Moses Brown, he didn't want any of that action. Look, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've tried to hold on.
Watch this emotion, though.
Look how close this is. But big man just being big in the right
emotion.
But here's him after the game.
Like I said, it's out of my control. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't know what I had to do at this point. At this point, I feel like, they hate me. The standard for, guys in Philly, or for me, is different than the standard than everybody else.
All right. No one hates you, Joel. If you don't win, it's not because anybody hates you.
That's Michael... not true. I can't stand him.
Oh, I can't
I'm
speak
joking.
For Richard.
I love you.
I can't stand
you.
I love you,
Joel.
That's a bad
joke. I'm just joking, Joel.
We have all three guys, right? They're amazing candidates for MVP.
Yeah.
It is so close. And Ramona, you have covered Joel Embiid incredibly closely. So I want to start with you here. You've talked to him about his candidacy. What has he told you?
Well, look, he wants to win this award. He wants to win the scoring title. He wants to be the first center to average 30 points a game, okay? He wants to do, because he's a goal setter. He's some, but that's how he motivates himself.
Since Shaq in 2000,
Since Shaq 2000. He wants to motivate himself all throughout the regular season, and winning MVP is very important to him. But I think he has, and I think you've seen this over the past, since they traded for James Harden, which is he wants to win an NBA title. And when he was in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, he went against the Lakers. He had a bunch of points in the first half. He could have scored, had a big night. They couldn't stop him. And I said, you kind of pulled off the brains there, right? And he said, well, Tobias had it going, and we really need him to get going. Mm-hmm. And James had it going, and we really need him to have it going. And he kind of pulled back a bit in that game. He still had 30-something and 15 rebounds, okay? But what you saw last night when he had 44 and 17 against the Cavs is what he was doing earlier in the year, which is he was their only option. He was the offense. He was the only guy who can score. And last night they needed him to do that. That was his 11th 40-point, 10-rebound game in this season. Only two of those, though, have come since the James Harden trade because he's been trying to get James Harden involved, because he's been trying to get Tobias Harris involved. So you dock him for being a good teammate?
His goals are trying to win a championship, too. Those are his goals.
Right. But let's just make this simple.
Yep.
Who's your MVP, Richard?
At this moment, right here, right now, my MVP is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the reason why is because I love what Joel has been doing. His numbers. Jokic, his numbers are outstanding. My biggest issue when I look at the Denver Nuggets, it's the narrative last year Jokic was outstanding. He was outstanding. He was great. There was no doubt about that. But it was like, he's doing this without Jamal Murray and with Porter Jr. hurt and like their team and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But we can't use that same narrative again this year. And when I say narrative, I mean like 49 of the last 50 MVPs have finished top four in their seeding. The one time that they didn't, it was Russell Westbrook, who had that Oscar Robertson 30, 10, and 10. So you rewarded
historic,
him. Historic moment. After that, it's like, wait a second, we can't keep, even though they're in six, and I know that's tough, but Giannis has been the most consistent basketball player on the planet for the last 5 years.
Oh, this MVP award is killing me softly because there are so many worthy candidates. And I think if I'm going off of the logic of you, you look at a team that's fifth in the West. All right, if you look at the West overall, they have seven teams with 500 or better records.
Who is it?
Versus you have in the East, you have 10 teams, I believe, with over 500 records.
Who
so you can say,
it?
You know, if
Who
you're the better player
it?
In the East, there's a
Answer
better case
it.
For you.
Answer
so if we narrow it down
we need a name.
From Giannis
we need a name.
To Embiid, I think it's really fascinating because the numbers are
one name. Done. No more words. Just say the name.
Look,
did you say a name? No
more
words.
Let's
just
be
the
real.
Name.
The numbers don't lie in Jokic's case.
Okay. No.
For
All
MVP.
Right. Now I want to.
But when it comes to MVP, you're right, Ramona. There is a narrative to it. And starting the season, Joel Embiid won that narrative. Other people inserted themselves.
So your pick is Jokic.
All right.
Jokic.
So your pick is Jokic.
No. Because I think my pick is Embiid. But I think.
They have it in the thing, the graphic. They have it in the graphic.
Wow. They put me. Why are you trying to sell me out, producer Greg?
Let me be very clear.
Hold up.
Let me be very clear. There's only one person on this panel who actually matters what they're about to say.
That's amazing.
She's the only one who has a vote.
Yes.
So Ramona. Who is your MVP?
If I had to vote right now, I would vote for Joel Embiid. But
thank you.
Okay. If
I was
I had
trying to
vote
get
right
to
now,
my case for
But listen, I think right now, I can't even. I'm being professional over here.
Don't. We're not. Don't worry about us.
I think Giannis has made an incredibly strong closing case. And that head-to-head matchup the other night where he blocked a shot at the end, that was that moment that a lot of voters... But I always tell myself as a voter, do not be a prisoner of the moment. Do not have that recency bias, okay? When somebody has the Heisman moment at the end, it should be built on a season-long of dominance. So what you do when you vote, okay, I want to see where do the Sixers finish in the East?
Yep.
Where do the Bucks finish in the East?
Yep.
Where do the Nuggets finish in the West?
Right. Yep.
Like, we need to
Thank
consider
you for
all
landing
of that.
Her plane.
But let's...
I was getting there before
listen,
you pushed me out of the
She's getting in shape for the WNBA season. And so she jumps over the fence and back over the fence and back.
That's
she
what
gets
we
in
do.
Shape.
Yeah, she
okay.
gets to do it.
Look, we have to look. The narrative of Joel Embiid changed. What happened from when he was first in Tim Bontemps' star poll after the All-Star break to second in the last one? James Harden got traded to the Sixers, right? Well, James Harden got traded to the Sixers, but James Harden has been okay, pretty good. But I think that swayed a lot of voters on the other side.
Right.
And if you look at the bench points for the Sixers, they have the last, they have the worst bench in the league. Okay? Worst.
Right.
So how much help is Joel really getting? I think it's just different that he's trying to get Tobias going, trying
I
to get James going.
I will say, though, MVP. For Giannis Antetokounmpo to win a third MVP, you have to really outdo
That's
yourself
right.
in order to win it. But the fact that all three of you, kind of, sort of, except for Chiney, chose three different votes, that shows you just how close this is.
Actually, Speaking you can just leave him over
leave
there.
Him out of this.
We'll do the show here.
Postseason awards. Do it all Raptor Scotty Barnes gives us his take on why he should win Rookie of the Year. Keep it locked. Bye, guys.
Bye, I'm
and
out.
Beating Jokic.
I'm beating Jokic.
He just upgraded the show.
By a lot.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
It's one of those days where the first time is always special, and you don't forget that. To me, they showed me, you know, that everything I did here had meant the world to them, just like, you know, vice versa.
The Heat get the win in Lowry's return to Toronto. Miami is now two games ahead of the Celtics for the first place, with three games to go for each team. But the Bucks and the Sixers are just a half game behind Boston, and the Bulls and the Raptors, they have the same record, so a lot can still change here. We now welcome in Raptors rookie Scottie Barnes. And the Raptors, they're sixth in the East, 7-3 in their last 10 games. And Scottie, you're a huge part of that team's success, your team's success. You're averaging 15 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists while shooting nearly 50% from the field. So how has your versatility helped the Raptors make a playoff push here?
I would say really just doing so many different things on the floor. Me being able to rebound, push in transition, being able to be what our whole team is, really just being able to guard 1-5 on the floor, switching, really just doing all these little things on the floor where it helps key contribute to winning.
Recently, Kyle Lowry said that you're a special talent, that's a direct quote, and a cornerstone of the franchise. It's another direct quote. And I think we can all agree, right, that Kyle is going to have a statue outside of the arena someday. So what does it mean to you? Yeah, right? So what does it mean to hear you to hear a player like that who has that history with the Raptors franchise to say that about you?
You could just see that he has a bunch of faith in me. He sees the talent that I have, what I can bring to this organization. Of course, he's been here for so long. He did so many great things for this organization where he knows how the system is and how the organization is. And he just sees that reflect on me where I can do a lot for this program and what I can be in the future.
Scottie, you're the first rookie to reach 1,000-plus points and 500-plus rebounds this season. So given that background, tell us why you should be the rookie of the year.
I would say really just besides being really being in like the top five in every category really that there is, the impact of me just really being winning, always been a winner. I really don't really look for individual stats. I really just try to do those key things on the floor to really just try to help our team win, try to help others succeed, thrive in their positions. So it's really just me winning. Really, it's been a great season. We're still going to try to win more games and try to get into this playoff push.
Richard Jefferson is sitting next to me, and I want to bring him in for this next part. But he just, like, laughed when he said, well, I'm basically top five in every category is.
Look, Sky, we created a custom commercial spot for ESPN Universal Pictures to promote the movie Jurassic World Dominion coming out in June. What was the experience like working with legends like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and myself? What was that like?
You're not a legend.
No, what was that? What was that like?
No.
Because we had a good time. What was that like?
Scottie, I'm sorry.
It was fun. It was fun. I would say, of course, you made it a lot easier for me, helping me get through it. Kind of nervous coming in at the beginning, but, you know, you was talking to me a little bit. But it was fun being around that, being in that environment, being around all those people. Just coming in and doing what we do.
Okay, now, do you remember what I told you in that moment about your rookie of the year? Do you remember what I told you?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he said I had his pick. He told me that.
I said that? No.
Yes, he said that.
I did not say that. I said I was mad that you didn't wear that necklace on the shoot. That's what I was mad. I said because I really like that necklace. That's dope. What kind of necklace is that?
Heard you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's beautiful. But no. I think what you have done in the last little bit, keep finishing strong because I know it's close between you and Mobley.
All right. Well, you don't need to lie, by the way, Scottie, and say that you had a good time with Richard. We all know that's not true. But our producer was fired up for this next part. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little bit of dino trivia. And I have to say, I had way too much fun learning about dinosaurs last night because, you know, you play for the Raptors, the movie. All right, Scottie, do you know what the word dinosaur, do you know what it means?
No.
It means terrible lizard.
Terrible lizard.
Terrible lizard.
Okay.
Do you know, Richard, and do not cheat, what dinosaur name means fast thief? Don't you dare. I can see you looking at the answer right now.
100% I know the answer, but we're just going to go. I'm going to guess and say, is it the Velociraptor?
Oh, my gosh. He's cheating, Scotty. Yes. That means fast thief. All right. How many claws did a Velociraptor have on each hand? Stop. How many does it have on each hand? Guess.
Probably say, I don't know, probably like four or three. I don't know.
Three!
I said probably three.
You got it right. Yes, Scotty, thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. We will see you in the playoffs. And you're getting Richard's vote, but he doesn't have
one. I don't have a
vote. So he's going to start stumping for you, though. Thank you so much for joining us
here on NBA Today. If I had a vote.
Say it.
See?
If I had a vote.
There you go. Scotty, thank you so much. All right, coming up next, our home court series continues right here in Los Angeles, where KABC's Rob Bukowski takes us behind the curtain on what went wrong for the Lakers season. Keep it locked right here on NBA Today.
I must be. This is how we do it. It's Friday
night, and I feel. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I hate losing. So, yeah, of course there's a level of frustration for sure. Can't even, like, sit here and say that we should be this or we should be that. Our record is who we are.
Championship team? It's not us right now.
This season is definitely different.
Understandable booze.
The Laker faithful know when bad basketball is being played.
Come on, man.
You gotta get a win. At this point, I don't even look at the record or the standings.
Now, as a part of our home court advantage series, welcoming in Rob Fukuzaki, ABC7 Los Angeles sports anchor and host of the Slam Dunk Show following the NBA on ABC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Malika. And I watch you every day.
Oh, thank you.
We were doing our cardio at home, and I love the show.
I really appreciate it.
I love the energy.
Well, as the Lakers, they face the very likely reality, right, of not making the play-in this season. What is the Lakers fan base's current temperature?
You know, I was asked this the other day when it comes down to the Laker fan base. Obviously, Kobe Bryant built this foundation deep in the heart of Los Angeles.
Mamba mentality.
In the heart of Laker fans, in their heart and minds. No one's ever going to pass that. And, you know, it's a little unfair to LeBron because I know a lot of Laker fans, a lot of good friends of mine who say LeBron's not a real Laker. Well, he brought you a 2020 championship. He did what he came here to do. But when it comes down to it, obviously it's tough on LeBron because that's the temperature of Laker fans. It's always going to be compared to Kobe Bryant. But when you have a guy like LeBron James, regardless if he's 37, he's putting up huge numbers. You put four guys around him, you should win a lot more than 31 games.
Well, let's go to the other team that is in our fine city of Los Angeles, the Clippers. They haven't had Kawhi Leonard all season, but they recently got Paul George back. Rob, how have the Clippers been able to stay in contention and stay relevant all season long here?
It's amazing because Tyronn Lue deserves Coach of the Year votes. He's not going to be the Coach of the Year, but when it comes down to it, he's had sort of the luxury of having this great core of players, not his superstars, but a great core of players and young players and a period of time to really develop these guys and also give them a lot of playing time and give them the confidence that they will need going into the postseason. And when a guy like Paul George comes back, he's been back for, what, two or three games now. If he can do 20, you know, 5-5 each game, and Reggie Jackson, and this core of players, they really have a really good core of role players on this team and young guys that are really fun to watch. They could be a wild card come the playoff time.
Absolutely. Yeah. No one really is sitting around thinking, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to face a well-coached, Ty Lue, Paul George-led Clippers team. They have been a tough team all season.
Absolutely.
And they could be a tough out. Rob.
And the culture has changed with the Clippers when it comes down to it here in Los Angeles. He has changed that.
Yeah, and you've seen some Clippers jerseys popping up way more than they did in the past. Rob, thank you so much.
You
for those
it.
Watching, you can catch Rob on ABC7. We have much more to come, though, on NBA Today. Kevin Durant on the Nets' chances in the play-in. How important is seeding to Brooklyn? NBA Today, we return in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by Credit Karma. Get the money app where your hard work pays off and create your own karma.
Well, Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. So we led the show talking about the Nets. Now let's close it the same way. Brooklyn, currently in 10th in the Eastern play-in, and according to BPI, they have a 65% chance to play in the 9 versus 10 game compared to just a 35% chance to make the 7-8 game. So here's Kevin Durant earlier today on the importance of seeding for the Nets.
Who cares? Whoever we play, we play. I don't care who we play. I don't care that we in the playoffs playing. Just tip the ball up, you know. See what happens, man. That's all you can control. It's too stressful thinking about we're trying to dodge a team, lining up again. Let's just play the game. We'll see what happens.
All right, just tip it up. See what happens. So how important is seeding to the Nets, Richard?
Well, I think the one thing you want to avoid is, trying to play Toronto, right? But I don't think Toronto's going to drop down. I think Toronto's going to stay where they are. And after that, you got KD on your team.
Thank you.
Toss the ball up. Whoever you get, 9, 10, 7, 8, whatever, you got KD, I take the chances.
When it comes to his natural abilities, to his gifts, KD is every favorite Hooper's favorite Hooper. You know what I mean? And so we all know that, okay, this has been a complicated season. I think it was also earlier he said, hey, you know, if I played, maybe the situation would not be like this. But at the end of the day, when KD shows up, he feels like he always has a chance to win. And that's a scary team to face in the playoffs.
And they're a 50-win team when he's on the court, right? If you look at their record when he plays, they are a 50-win team.
Well, and he also said, look, I feel like our, in that same session, he said that I felt like my injury was the difference in our season.
Precisely.
And, yeah, you can also talk about all of the other stuff surrounding the Nets, if they had had Kyrie for more of the time, et cetera, et cetera. But Kevin Durant's like, let's just go play. Let's just tip it up. Let's do it. And I said it about Paul George and the Clippers. I really mean it about the Nets. Nobody wants to face
Big
Brooklyn.
Bags.
No one wants
Big
to face Brooklyn.
Bags.
Like that's just the fact of the matter. Did you guys work it out, by the way? Are we cool?
We're always cool. Perk's not here, so I feel like we're a little bit more calm. We miss you, Perk, though.
No, we do miss you.
Nah,
I can't speak for Richard,
for the
but
two
we
of
miss
them.
You. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. NFL Live is coming up next.
Orlovsky!